ask that you remain standing as we read our sermon text from the Gospel, the Good News according to Matthew, Matthew chapter 5, verses 8 through 12. Matthew 5, starting at verse 8, page 948 in the Pew Bible. This is God's inspired, inerrant word, our only rule of faith and practice. Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Amen. You may be seated. And I do ask that you pray with and for me and for all of God's people. Let's pray. Our Father, we are so grateful that you have spoken to us, that you have revealed to us the truth. You have revealed to us how things really are. You've revealed to us the way of blessing. And you revealed to us salvation through your Son, Jesus. Salvation in his name. And so, Lord, as we consider this revelation, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would open our eyes to see Jesus and to see the blessing that you give us for this life and also for the life to come. And so we pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, our Lord and our God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The sermon title this morning is The Surprising Path to Joy. The Surprising Path to Joy. And so as we have been going through the Beatitudes or the summary statement of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, ways that we are to be, attitudes that we are to have, and the blessing we can expect as we are that way, and as we have those attitudes, as the mind of Christ becomes our mind and our attitude, not because we've tried so hard, but because we've been born again to a new and living hope. And we've been born again, regenerated by the Lord through his grace. And that changes everything. Amen? And so we see in this set of Beatitudes, an element of surprise in Jesus' teaching on the normal Christian life. He makes these surprising, counterintuitive, simple statements of kingdom realities. And kingdom realities leading to kingdom blessing and kingdom joy, but they surprise us. In other words, as we found in weeks past, the poor are the ones who take possession. And the humble are the ones who inherit the whole earth. And it's the hungry and the thirsty that are filled. And the merciful and the peacemaker are the ones who get the upper hand, contrary to what people of the world say and think. And finally, we find that the best path to kingdom joy is through pure-heartedness and persecution. Yes, the best path to kingdom joy is through pure-heartedness and persecution. Now, I'm not saying that's an easy way. It's not. And I'm not saying that it's without pain. It has pain at times. But to follow Jesus is worth it. Amen? What does it say? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Why? For great is your reward in heaven. And also, blessed are the pure in heart. Is it worth it to wash our hands in innocence and keep our hearts pure? Yes, it is, because the pure in heart, they shall see God. Amen. And so Jesus promises a face-to-face encounter with the Father and eternal joy in His presence. And so the surprise is that true joy, true happiness that cannot be taken away, comes from purity of heart and in the midst of persecution. Joy comes from remaining faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what. And belief drives behavior. What you believe about something affects how you live. If you believe that Jesus is Lord and that He's in control of all things, if you truly believe that, it will take away your fear. Amen? But if you don't really believe that, then you will be fearful. And so we need to have just a mustard seed size faith in our great Redeemer, Savior, and Lord. Amen? Amen? Belief drives behavior. Believe God's truth about purity and persecution, that they are the path, that they are the sure path to kingdom joy. Do you believe that? We need to believe that. And so the best path to kingdom joy is through pure-heartedness and persecution. Let's talk about the first one. The pure in heart are blessed. Why? They shall see God. There's no other way to see God. We can't see God with a polluted heart. We have a lot of people who want a green environment. And that's good. We should want for our environment to be clean like God created it. And we want to be good stewards of our environment and have dominion. And that means to do what brings blessing and a continued fruitfulness and multiplying of that that creation that God made. But we also should want a purity within. And Jesus says that we are blessed if we are pure in heart. Now, some of us might wonder, well, is this even possible? Is it possible for sinful people to have a pure heart? And so, rather than philosophizing about it, let's see what God's word says. Job 14:4 says, "Who can bring a clean thing out of unclean? No one." That's what Job 14:4 says. And then Proverbs 20, verse 9 says, "Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin." Now, it doesn't say no one, but we can answer it rhetorically. No one can say that. And so we all have a problem. We have a problem, the problem of a dirty heart. That's my problem. It's your problem. We come into the world that way. And God is calling us to do something about it. And yet, we feel like this is impossible. How can I make a filthy heart clean? And it seems we're doomed to failure in this desire for a pure heart. And you know, we have to agree that in some sense, it is impossible. But God. God has a solution to our dirty heart problem. And that solution is that he starts over. He starts from scratch. God's solution for a dirty heart, for a stony heart, is to kill it. Yes, kill it and put a new clean heart within. That's what God's word says. Do you remember what it says in Ezekiel 36, 25 through 7? God says, "I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean." Wonderful promises of God. "I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols." Now, he spoke this to the people of Israel of old, but these things were written for our instruction. He speaks them to God's people today. "I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean." That's a promise. "I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols." Ezekiel 36, 26. "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." There's the idea there of a heart transplant. Many thousands of years before anyone would attempt such a thing, God says, "I'll do it. I'll take out your heart of stone, that filthy heart, and put in you a heart of flesh." Verse 27, "I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." That's what theologians call regeneration. That's what John the Evangelist called being born again. Nicodemus, you have a stony heart. It needs to come out, and a new heart needs to go in. You must be born again. Amen? That's what it means to become a new creation in Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. old things have passed away. They've died and they've been buried. Behold, behold, look and look again. New things have come. Amen. God does it. Yes, God does it. But you know what? We can ask him to do it. Lord, I have this stony heart. Take it out. Give me a new one after your heart, after the heart of Jesus. And God will do it. Amen. Our heart is so bad that God must start over. It requires a creative work of God. And that's why David prays in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. What a great prayer that is. And so, if you are in Christ, if you have trusted in him and you've received him into your heart, guess what? You have a new heart. In Christ, our new heart is pure. Why? Because it's the heart of Jesus. And if there is some impurity or sin there, there's a remedy for that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to forgive our sins and what? Cleanse us from some unrighteousness? Oh no, all unrighteousness. And so blessed are the pure in heart. Hallelujah. Anybody have a pure heart out there and are glad enough to say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Thank God for the blessing of a pure heart. I didn't do it. He did it. Amen. Amen. And so, if your heart is not pure, purify it. Confess your sin and stop it. That's called repentance. And you can. Come clean, beloved. Come clean with God. Another passage, James 4:8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Don't be double-minded anymore. Fix your mind and heart on Jesus. Because if you set your mind on the things of the flesh, you must die. But if you set your mind on things of the Spirit, that's life and peace. You will live. Amen? And so, to borrow words from Hebrews 12, fix your eyes on Jesus. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, whatever is praiseworthy, fix your mind on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. And so the path to true joy is through having a pure heart. The path to joy and blessing comes through persecution. The persecuted are blessed. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is exceeding joy in heaven. You know, It says, blessed are you when they revile you. It doesn't say, blessed are you if. It says, blessed are you when. So guess what? Persecution for righteousness' sake is part and parcel of the normal Christian life. We don't like to think about that, especially in Western Christianity. But what does the word say? Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely for my sake. And all those who desire to live godly will endure persecution, Paul says. And so persecution is not optional in the Christian life. It's standard equipment, comes with the territory. If they persecuted the Lord Jesus Christ, they will persecute his followers as well. Amen? How do we respond? Well, we're to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Or in Luke 6:23, Luke says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Now, some of you may not be able to leap very high, but it is a leap that works from the inside out. So even if physically you're not able to leap, you can leap in your heart. Amen? And someday you will leap for joy. Amen? Why? Because great is your reward in heaven. And for in like manner, their fathers did to the prophets. So rejoice, rejoice, and be exceedingly glad. Great is your reward in heaven. That's how we respond. But we also respond in love, in love. Further on in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:44, Jesus said this. He said, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. You know, that's a living out of the law of the kingdom. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So, if you want people to hate you, hate. If you want people to curse you, curse. Curse others. If you want people to spitefully use you and revile you and abuse you and say bad things about you, say those things to other people, and guess what? That's going to come back to you. Right? But if you follow the words of Jesus, he says, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. God is good to all. Amen? In his common grace. I remember hearing a sermon by Tony Evans. And he tells a story of growing up in a non-Christian home for 10 years, till he was 10 years old, his parents would bicker back and forth, yell at each other, disrespect one another, cuss at each other. His father was a drinker. And that's the way he grew up in Baltimore, Maryland. But then some people doing some street preaching and ministry shared the gospel with Tony Evans' father. And he believed in their message. He believed in the Lord Jesus, trusted him as Lord and Savior. And then he began reading his Bible. Every night, his father would read the Bible. He would get up at midnight when everyone was asleep and no one would bother him. And he would be there reading his Bible. And then he began to treat his family the way a father should, in love. And he would love his wife and speak kindly to him. But she would try to trip him up, and she would do bad things to him on purpose to try to stop him in his path of following Jesus and living according to the Bible. And the more she did bad to him, the more he loved her unconditionally. And then one night, when he was reading the Bible at midnight, Tony Evans' mom came down and spoke to her husband, and in tears says, "I don't get it. The more I do bad things to you, the more you love me. I don't understand. And all I know is whatever you have, I want that too." And so they knelt together and she prayed then to receive Christ. And after that, they both led all their children to faith in Christ. And so Tony Evans grew up with in a household for half of the time that he was raised. It was in an ungodly home. But then the other half, till the time he was 20, he was raised in a godly home. And so he knows the difference. But he also saw how if you bless when people curse, that becomes a blessing to them, and how God can use that to bring other people into his kingdom. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? And so we're called to be perfect. Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And so our goal and God's promise, therefore, be perfect, or you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now we can buck against that, push against that and say, how can I be perfect? And in a sense, there is an impossibility there. But with men, these things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And so in here is a promise. If we believe it, you shall be perfected. God is in the process of perfecting every son, every daughter whom he receives. And it is his design to perfect them through what? Suffering. Through what? Persecution. And so it really is true. And may we believe it that the best path to kingdom joy is through pure-heartedness and persecution. Let's pray. Lord, this isn't the way we usually think. It's counterintuitive, not the way we usually think, but this is thinking your thoughts after you, because this is your word, and this is according to your way. And so I pray, Lord, that you would grant that we would believe that what you say is true, and that it is those who are pure-hearted who will see God, and those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and theirs is eternal joy and reward before you. And so thank you, Lord, for setting before us these promises, these principles, these aspects of the normal Christian life. Give us grace to walk before you and be blameless, to walk before you in purity, and then also to walk before you in faithfulness, no matter what the cost, even if it costs us our reputation, if it costs us abuse, persecution, reviling, false testimony against us. And Lord, we commit ourselves to you. We commit our way to you. I wonder if maybe the church in the West is also going to enter into a time of persecution as well as has happened to the church in the East and the church in the South. So, Lord, strengthen us. Strengthen us with your might in the inner man so that we would be able to persevere as we walk in Jesus. Give us grace to continue steadfastly in the surprising path of joy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.